This morning, we want to continue on in our series of looking at the character of God. If we are going to be able to walk with Him as He desires to be walked with, if we are going to be able to establish relationship as He desires to have relationship with us, then we're going to need to know of who He is and the God that we are serving and the God who went to the cross for us. We've already talked about His love, and that is unconditional love for us. We've also talked about His goodness, and that He's good, and He's good all the time. Even in those circumstances that seem to pale in the definition of goodness, God yet is still good at those times. And this morning, we want to take a few moments and look at His faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is a word that is moving further and further away from our mainstream thinking. And if I just mention faithfulness, your minds would instantly go, oh, He's going to be talking about marriage and divorce. That's where He's going with this topic, and I'm tuning this one out. It means far more than that. The meaning goes far beyond this. Webster defines it as a firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. It applies to the words and promises we have made. Can what you say be relied upon and the promises you make be trusted to carry out? When you speak, do we seek to carry out what we say? Just a few years back, many of our old timers would be able to say, I remember the day when we were able to make deals with a handshake, when all I had to do was say, yes, I will pay you, and shake hands, and that was good enough. But if we go to nowadays, we see that this only brings a load of grief today and has no bearing in a dispute. That you try and go before a judge and say we had a handshake agreement and see how far that goes and see how far that gets you today. He will say, show me the documentation. Show me the contract that you wrote up with each other. Show me the signatures on that contract and how each of you agreed to this. And even sometimes that is not good enough today. Ray Pritchard has written this. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say? Before you answer, let me rephrase the question. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say every single time? Now, before you answer, let me rephrase it again. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say every single time and do it with thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say or do? Again, before you answer, let me ask it one more time. How many people do you know who no matter what the circumstances and no matter how they feel, will always do exactly what they say they will do every single time and do it with the same thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say or do, because you know if they say it, they will do it without fail, without change, and without excuse. Who do we know that is exactly like that? Have we looked at our own agreements that we have made with others and say, well, man, I've came up short in that one, or whatever? But faithfulness is God's attribute of utter dependability, the antithesis of everything fickle and fluctuating. So before we go in and look at this morning, let's just stop for a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. And thank You, Heavenly Father, that You're faithful to us. And that, Heavenly Father, that doesn't change. And it is unchanging. The faithfulness that we see from You throughout the word of God is the faithful God that we are serving today. And so pray, Heavenly Father, that You might illuminate Your word for us this morning as we look into it, for praying it in Your name. Amen. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. What generation are we in today? Or is He only meaning that He's only going to go out to 1,000? It goes far beyond that. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God's faithfulness means that God will always do what He has said and fulfill what He has promised. He can be relied upon, and He will prove faithful to those who trust what He has said. The essence of true faith is taking God at His word and relying on Him to do as He promised. The accounts of the faithfulness of God in Scripture are not just cute children's stories. They are truths meant to occupy the weary pilgrim's mind and affect their too often wandering heart. The stories where we receive God's faithfulness throughout the Word of God is more than just telling us a story. He wants us to know who He is, and He's desired us to get to know who he is. He wants us to know and understand his faithfulness, because if we understand his faithfulness, it will have implications in all of life. It will have implications in how you walk the Christian life. It will have implications when God states in his word that this is a promise that he has made. I'm going to stand and rest upon it. We can look expectantly forward to his return because it's a promise that he has made. I will return for you one day. Are we, as the body of Christ, eagerly looking at the clouds for his expectant return? Are we looking eagerly for his return because it is a promise that he made to us? It is all too human for our circumstances to dominate our outlook and our faith in God to waver. This one sight, the present trouble, overshadows everything else. Yet it is precisely here that we must fight by the power of the Spirit and the truth of the Word. We don't ignore our circumstances. We don't rise above them or resign ourselves to them. Instead, we live in them as Christians, reminding ourselves of God's past faithfulness. God was faithful in the past. We know that he will continue to be faithful into the future with each of us as well. When David is confronted with enemies on every side, he proclaims, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. When Asaph finds himself in trouble, he says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Why did they come to that place in their walk as they were going through troubled times? They were able to look back and said, yes, God was faithful in this instance. God was faithful here, and then I can rest in the fact that he still has me in his hands. Looking to God's faithfulness in the past grants peace in the present and fixes hope for the future. How blessed it is in the midst of so much faithlessness to find one who is faithful, faithful in all things, faithful at all times. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Faithfulness is intrinsic to the very character of God. Yes, we can have the characteristic of being faithful. We can display faithfulness in our word and carry out faithfulness in our actions. But we can't be intrinsically faithful as God is. It's part of his makeup. For God to not be faithful, he would have to step down from being God. And that is impossible, an impossibility. It is intrinsic to who he is. That he is faithful. But we also see that he carries out faithfulness in his actions as well. Psalm 89 and verse 8 states, with your faithfulness all around you. And there it is a description that faithfulness is all around him. He can't be separated from it. Isaiah 11 and verse 5, righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, of faithfulness, the belt of his loins. It's part of who he is. It's also part of what he's dressed with as well, as Isaiah seeks to describe it for us. His faithfulness has many words to describe it. If you were to look through the word of God, you would see that it is described as great. It is also described as established. It's described as incomparable, unfailing, infinite, and everlasting. That's how it is described throughout the word of God. His faithfulness does not change. His faithfulness will not change. It is from beginning to end. He is faithful. That is who he is. And then he manifests this faithfulness in his counsels, in afflicting his saints, in fulfilling his promises, in keeping his covenant, in executing his judgments, in forgiving sins, and also he is faithful to his saints as well. That is how he displays his faithfulness to us. Do we know that for a fact this morning? And we establish that as a pillar in our Christian walk, that God is faithful. When all of a sudden we begin and come to that place when we begin to doubt that, do we then come back to that aspect that, no, that can't be the truth there, because it is a proven fact, God is faithful. He can't be anything else but faithful. We need to rest in that fact. Joshua understood this in Joshua 23 and verse 14. Not word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Why would he seek to emphasize that over and over again, unless we are people who have doubts about that? Well, maybe he wasn't really faithful in that. No, he over and over again emphasizes the fact, all have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Joshua 21 and 45. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. And again, he further accentuates that fact as well. And he wants us to understand that. His faithfulness is also intricately linked to the truthfulness of God or to his veracity. So if you wanted to learn a new word this morning, there you found a new word there you can take home with you. And that God's veracity, his truthfulness. And his faithfulness is intrinsically tied also to his truthfulness. God's truthfulness means that he is the true God and that all his knowledge and words are both true and the final standard of truth. Job 37 and verse 16, God is perfect in knowledge. He is never mistaken in his perception or understanding of the world. All that he knows and thinks is true and is correct and is a correct understanding of the nature of reality. Thus, the standard of true knowledge is conformity to God's knowledge. God always speaks truth when he speaks. Hebrews 6 and verse 18, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Numbers 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Do we understand that this morning? As we look through the Word of God, as God takes us to different passages, and he shows us some truths and promises that he has made, we can make that statement over each one of them. Has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? And the only answer we can say is, God is faithful, God will fulfill his word. We can eagerly expect all the promises that he will carry out one day, those that he has carried out and those yet to be carried out. God's words are not simply true in the sense that they conform to some standard of truthfulness outside of God. Rather, they are truth itself. They are the final standard and definition of truth, and the final standard by which truthfulness is to be judged. John 14 and verse 6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this morning I present to you as well, that is a truth that God has established. No one will come to him except through Jesus Christ, as he is established in John 14 and verse 6. We can trust in the faithfulness of God because all the promises he makes are absolutely true and reliable. We can rely upon him because when he speaks truth. When he speaks to us, he is speaking truth to us. That is, he is a God of truth. He cannot lie. We also see this morning that his faithfulness is also intrinsically linked to him being unchangeable or immutable. God is unchanging in his being, perfections, purposes, and promises. Yet God does act and feel emotions, and he acts and feels differently in response to different situations. It is one thing to believe that God was faithful, but another to believe that God is faithful. You can look at the Word of God and look back at those stories that are presented there. You can look at Adam and Eve there, God's faithfulness with them. You can look at Moses, God's faithfulness to him. You can look at Noah and all the stories there of how God was faithful to them. But this morning, do we believe that God was not only faithful, he is faithful. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to me. Today, the same as he was back then? Or do we doubt that this morning? Malachi 3 and verse 6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. When we look at the Word of God and we see who he was and how he operated throughout the Word of God, he is the same God that we are serving today. He is the same God that can display his power today and is displaying his power yet today. The faithful God of the Bible is still on the throne today and is the indwelling God of each believer, and the God who is faithfully carrying out his promises and his word in each of our lives. What about that passage in Philippians 1 and verse 6? He which hath begun a good work in you will carry it through. Is God faithful in that? What is God doing to display his faithfulness in that in your life? To bring you to that place of completion one day, and that he is about that work in your life today. He is faithful in that as well. And I'm not sure what he's carrying you through or what he's going to carry you through. But that's a work that God has promised that he will bring to completion. And he will be faithful in that for us today. Isaiah 46. Let's just turn there briefly this morning to Isaiah 46. Let's read verses 9 to 11. Isaiah chapter 46, beginning at verse 9. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. Do we know that? Do we understand that fact this morning? When God says, I will do it, we can rest in that fact. We don't have anything in our vocabulary that can fully comprehend, can fully demonstrate the truth of that fact, except for when he says it, I will do it. We can rest in the fact that it will take place. James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The fact that God is unchanging in his being is of the utmost importance for maintaining the creator-creature distinction and for our worship of God. God is unchanging in his promises. Once he has promised something, he will not be unfaithful to that promise. Numbers 23 and verse 9, has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? He is as tender of and careful about his church and people as ever he was. Being unchangeable, he is in every way the same to his people now as he was formerly. The same in his love to them, his jealousy for them, his sympathy with them, and his interest in them. He stands in the same covenant relationship to them as ever he did. He is their king, their head, their husband, their friend, their father, their shepherd. God is in every way the same as he ever was, the same in holiness, jealousy, justice, power that ever he was. He is as holy now as ever he was, and so hates sin as much as ever he did. He is as just now as ever he was, and so as ready and disposed to take vengeance as ever. He is as jealous now as jealous for his name, worship, gospel, and people as ever he was. He is as wise and powerful now as ever, and so as able to deal with his enemies as ever he was. Do we know that? That's the God that we serve. That is the indwelling presence who has taken residence within us. It is the same God. And so when Abraham talks about a faithful God, when Isaac talks about a faithful God, that is the God who we are serving. And that is the God that we can go forward into the future with, because he is a God of faithfulness. He is a God when he states something, and it is, what he does state is true. He will carry it out in my life. And as I shared already, Philippians 1 and verse 6, the work that he is doing in my life, I can rest in the fact that he is carrying that out. Different roads for each of us in that, how God has done that in each of us. But God is faithful, and God is carrying that out in our lives. All Christians rest upon the faithfulness of God. Our unchangeable God, who never falters, never fails in his promises, is the very foundation of our faith and the ground of our security. That is what gives stability and strength to our faith. We can count on it. We have the same God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had, that David prayed to and wrote his Psalms in praise of. All this constitutes for us the bedrock of security that we rest upon it in every single day. God's immutability presupposes his faithfulness. If he is unchanging, it follows that he could not be unfaithful. Upon God's faithfulness rests our whole hope of future blessedness. Only as he is faithful will his covenant stand and his promises be honored. We can rest this today in that God is unchanging. The God that we read from the Word of God that we have in front of us this morning is the same God who is dealing with us, and the same God who is acting in this world stage. But let's look at a passage this morning. And as Dave shares on Wednesday nights, let's dig a little deeper into this subject. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Looking at verses 11 through to verse 13. It is a trustworthy statement For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We see here this morning four first-class conditional statements for us, displaying that God is going to be faithful in each of these four statements for us. He opens it up with a statement. It is a trustworthy statement. The word that he uses there is the Greek word pistis, meaning it's often translated faithful or faith often. And so it is just as easy that we can translate this as the saying is faithful. In fact, if you look at another usage of the word in Matthew 24 and 45, you will see that he does use it in that manner, in that passage. We can say here this morning as we look at this, here is an illustration of four areas that God is faithful in this morning. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. A first-class conditional statement, meaning it's assumed to be true or fulfilled condition and can thus be accurately translated with since or in view of the fact of this has taken place. We can rest in this. It is a true statement here as what he is presenting for us. But it's also a faithful statement as well. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. Died with there has the idea of together to die. The compound word used presents the idea of being intrinsically united with him in his death. And this morning, if this is true of you, if you have gone to the cross with him, if you have died and be raised again in newness of life, then that the truth of the fact is that you are all alive with him. That is a truth. He also uses the aorist tense here, and that he points to a definite event and could point to the past, or alternatively, could be timeless. It's something that was a definite event in each of our lives that we came to him and said, yes, God, I agree with you. I am a sinner, and I need to come before you in repentance and faith this morning. When we did that, the Bible talks about us having been buried with him, as they count there in Romans 6 and verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We went through that, and if that is true of you this morning, then there's a faithful saying that he's presenting for us today, that we indeed today are alive. Do we understand that? That we will also live with him. Now, it might seem that that's a future event, but it is a present reality. If this is true of you, then it is a true and faithful truth that we will also live with him. This condition being fulfilled is the case of every believer, for all have died with Christ. The result is assured to all who have come in repentance and faith and died with him. That word live there is an interesting combination in the original. It means together with live. And thus the verb combination conveys the picture that we have been entwined with the essence of Christ's life. We are identified with him, and because of his resurrection, we share in and can experience the resurrection life of Christ. We walk in newness of life. It's an interesting construction when you go back into the original there. There's many different choices he could have made with different constructions. But he chose an interesting word here, that we are intrinsically tied together. We can't be separated here. That's the picture he wants to put before us today. And as a faithful saying that God wants us to understand today, that if that is true of you, then we are alive with him, intrinsically part of him, of who he is. And that is a truth that he wants us to know and understand. The proprietor of a dry cleaning and dyeing business hung this quaint sign in his window. We die to live. We live to die. The more we die, the more we live. And the more we live, the more we die. Ever thought of it? He was looking at it from a position of dyeing clothes and stuff like that. But it's also true in our lives as well, that we have to come to that place in our lives where we say, God, you're right. I come in repentance and trust before you. And it is true that if that is taking place in your life, then you are alive today. And that is a faithful saying that we can rest upon, because it's something that God has told us. He goes on to another first-class conditional statement. If we endure, we will also reign with him. It's another faithful saying. If we endure, it doesn't mean that, okay, if I keep my faith going as long as possible, make it hopefully to that end. That is not what he's talking about here. This word here, endure, means under, abide, or remain. It was a military term used of an army holding a vital position at all costs. We also see that it is in the present tense, means that it is continuous enduring. Not saying we will earn our salvation by our endurance. Endurance does not save anyone. Jesus' point is that the one who is genuine will endure to the end, not by gritting their teeth, but because the Spirit of Christ indwells them and empowers them and will never lose them. Hebrews chapter 10, looking at verses 35. Hebrews chapter 10, turning to verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You may receive what was promised. We could look this morning at the passage in Revelation 2 and verse 26 and Revelation 3 and 21, where God promises there that one day we'll be able to reign with him in the Revelation 3 and verse 21 package. If you endure, it's talking about that as believers, when we walk with him, we have that one day of standing before him and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then he gives us gifts for our ministry that we are involved in. The talents that God gave us, he rewards us one day, and we are looking forward to that. That's a promise that God has for us. When we are walking with him, then we can eagerly look forward to that we will also reign with him. But look at the next two first-class conditional statements. If we deny him, he will also deny us. The NIV uses the word disown. It means to declare untrue, assert the contrary of, or contradict. Disown means to refuse to acknowledge or accept as one's own. The basic idea, to put it simply, is to say no. If you want to say no to God this morning, you have the right to do that. But then you also have the faithful God who says that if that is you, if you are this morning saying no to him, he will also deny you as well. The passage in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 33 also makes that very clear for us this morning. If you are here this morning and you are continuing in the saying no to him, if that is your continual, what you are involved in or what you are doing, then there will come a day when he says, I will deny you. What a sad day that will be. He's not talking about gifts in this first class condition. He's talking about a personal denial that one day when you stand before God, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. That is a faithful saying. We can trust and rely upon that fact. That if you continue in that state of unbelief, there will come a day when we stand before him, when he says, depart from me, I never knew you, and he will deny you. That is also a faithful saying this morning. And then the fourth one, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And some have taken to interpreting this verse to mean that it doesn't matter what you believe in, God is faithful, and in the end, he'll save us all. That is not what he's talking about at all. In Romans 3 and verse, chapter 3 and 3 and verses, sorry. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. God is going to remain faithful. He can't be anything else. And if you are unfaithful, if you decided to remain in unbelief, that will not change the fact that God is yet still faithful. And so my challenge for you this morning is, what side are you going to be? Are you going to be people who want to live? Or are you going to be one day when he is faithful to you and says, depart from me, I never knew you? You have this time and opportunity that God has given us. I'm sure that many would say in Noah's day as well that God is never going to carry out his word because he gave them 120 years of his grace in their lives. But yet the day did come. God was yet faithful to them and saying that he is going to bring this destruction upon him. That is going to take place. We can rest in that fact this morning. My challenge for us this morning is choose life. A faithful God desires that to be true of us. In the midst of life's unfaithfulness, we can rest in the faithfulness of God, for God cannot deny himself and who he is. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let me leave this passage with you this morning. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let's hold fast today in the faithfulness of God, that what he has said is true, and he will carry it out for us this morning. This is closing a word of prayer as the worship team comes back to sing one more song. Dear Father, thank you that you're faithful, and that you're faithful with me, and that you're faithful with each believer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I can live, and that, Heavenly Father, I can eagerly expect one day that I'm going to reign with you as well, as you have promised. So thank you, Heavenly Father, that I can rest in your promises today, for we pray in your name. Amen.